we are going to have immediately following the service. Now, we're not going to take and greet our guests. We're going to take and invite our guests over to our fellowship hall immediately following the service because we're going to have a victory cake celebration with our quiz team. All right? So, if you are a guest of ours tonight, it is an honor and a privilege to have you here and celebrate with us for this great occasion. It's also somebody else's got a big day today here. Down here on the front, Grandma Burrell has got a birthday today. So she's over 50 and under 100. And she makes a mean, mean sweet potato pie. So I'm going to go right into preaching. I'm just going to basically lay a foundation this evening for a series. I actually kind of started this a few weeks ago talking about God's divine plan for your life. And God just kind of kept working at me on this, and I went back and started putting more together. Also, our deaf ministry this past week went to Deaf Conference, and they had their national Deaf Conference. So glad to hear the good news. They'll be making a presentation here in a few weeks. But as I begin to spend a little more time with this, I begin to ask questions, things that I asked myself and things that I struggle with. And I know a lot of people struggle with this. And it's like, how do I know what God's will is for my life? How do I know? And we ask ourselves that question many, many times. How do I know what my calling is? You know, we talk about divine destiny, and I use the word destiny because a lot of people don't understand when you say, well, what's the will of God for your life? A lot of people, they don't know what you're really talking about there. So what is your divine, God's divine destiny? What is God's divine plan for your life? And, you know, how can I find a career or how can I find a ministry that will satisfy that inner desire? That's what's pushing me. We all hopefully, if you don't have something within you that's pushing you, then you need to take and reevaluate you, okay? We need to be able to feel like inside of us that we can do better, that we can push and we can push ourselves. Some people don't like to push themselves, but I like to take and push myself. Sometimes I'll put myself in situations where I have to take and go the extra mile in order to get done what has to be done. But how do I do all of this? So I put together this series. I'm going to name the series a rather comical title. It's called Chasing Donkeys. Chasing Donkeys. And the question is, so what's stopping you and what is God's plan for you? Okay, so I should probably maybe put those around. God's plan for you and then what's stopping you. These are some topics we're going to cover in this series. We're reading tonight from Proverbs 19, chapter 19, verse 21. And it says, there are many plans in a man's heart, or many desires, devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel or the Lord's purpose that will stand or that shall stand. Reading the King James up there. There are many plans in a man's heart. We have a lot of different plans that go on within our heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's purpose for our lives, the Lord's purpose for us as individuals and a church, that is what will stand. A lot of things, a lot of plans that we have. A few weeks ago, we preached about God's divine destiny, and we spoke to the church as well as individuals. And if we can just take tonight and bring this into a little bit more of a focus, and by the end of this series, if you're not for sure what God's plan is for your life and how do I find God's plan for my life, hopefully we'll be able to shed a little bit of light on this particular topic, because it's something I know from time to time that we all struggle with. I want to begin reading tonight, and as I said, tonight I'm going to just lay a foundation for the rest of this series. We're going to be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. And before we begin, I feel that it's important for us to understand a little bit of history behind the passage of Scripture that we're going to read. Sometimes as preachers, we just kind of dive in to a subject or a topic and we expect everyone else to know and understand exactly why we've selected that particular subject or that particular verse of Scripture. And over the past few months, I've preached a few messages that had to do with the nation of Israel. The Bible basically is focused around the nation of Israel and God's relationship with the nation of Israel. But how did Israel even become a nation? How did all of this get started? In order to understand our passage of that we're going to be reading from, we got to begin back at Abraham. Abraham was a man that God had called him out of his homeland. He called him to be the very beginning or the father of the nation of Israel. So Abraham becomes the father of the nation of Israel. He has a one son, only one son, and that one son has two, and the two has more, and the family just keeps multiplying and growing, and they end up down in Egypt, and 70 of them down in Egypt, they're enslaved by the Egyptians. You might have heard some of the stories in Sunday school if you were younger about the Israelites being enslaved and the plagues that God had sent to Egypt. So here they're in bondage in Egypt, and then Moses shows up on the scene, and Moses is the deliverer, and God uses Moses and delivers them and protects them and takes them out into the wilderness, and they cross over the Red Sea, and the armies of Egypt, which are pursuing them, the Israelites cross over on dry ground, which is a tremendous miracle, and the Egyptians are going to cross over and chase them, and the waters close up, and the Egyptian army is destroyed, so here we go on, and we're talking about how that God had a great relationship with the nation of Israel, Jehovah God. We recall how that Moses was Israel's leader, and he was under the authority of their Jehovah God. Moses dies, Joshua comes on the scene, he assumed the position of leadership, and then after the death of Joshua, God had a different plan for Israel. Up to this time, there was one leader that led the entire nation, and he was pretty much the go-to guy. But after Joshua, God appoints judges to rule over and to judge the people. And we've heard of Samson. How many of you have heard of Samson and Delilah? There's been all kinds of stories and songs and everything else written about Samson and Delilah. Samson was actually a judge over the nation of Israel. They were to help keep the people on track spiritually, and they were to help deliver them from any type of oppression from their neighboring countries. And he would lead them in a faithful obedience to Jehovah God. And also, reading in the Scripture, as we're going to read tonight from 1 Samuel, Samuel was also one of those judges. They had a number of judges, and in Samuel chapters 8, the Scripture tells us that Samuel has grown old in age, and he's not physically able to carry out all of the demanding duties of his office, kind of similar to our bishop here and such. So Samuel appoints his two sons to take his place. But his two sons, Joel and Abiah, they were not dedicated to the Lord like their father. In fact, they were quite the opposite. They were quite greedy, and they were selfish, and they were very perverted in their views and their ways of things which pertain to God as well as in the house of God. And that is why today it is so important as we follow after our pastor, or you may attend another church, we follow after our pastors, and it's very important that those pastors follow after the Word of God. Because if they don't follow after the Word of God, and you're listening to something that becomes perverted because it becomes their opinion, not the Word of God or the written Word of God, things can get perverted very quickly and can go downhill awful fast. So it's important In other words, they were pretty much like most of our politicians today. They were pretty crooked, and they were giving out of unjust and misguided judgments, and they turned from the right course and distorted what was right. They began taking bribes from the people, and it sounds just like politics today, and they began to make a complete mockery out of the justice that God had set in place for the people. So the people became weary. They became tired of this kind of leadership, kind of where we are today. How many of you become weary and tired of our country and where we are today? We didn't get here in just a few years. This has been a progression that has taken place over many, many years. But they began weary and tired of the order of the judges, and they discontinued it, and they began to cry out and say, "We want to have a king. All of the other nations around us have a king. We want to have a king." And this is kind of where our story begins. So in 1 Samuel 8, verses 4 and 5, then the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah. And he said unto them, "Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations." Israel had prophets, they had priests, they had judges, and God was to be their sole king. But they weren't satisfied with God's plan. They wanted to institute their own plan. And sometimes it's funny how people think that they know more than God. And so many times we as individuals, we think that our plan is so much better than God's plan. We think that our method is so much better than God's method. And Israel wanted a king to rule over them just like the other nations around them. Now Samuel was somewhat displeased and was not at all in favor of their request. And we read in 1 Samuel 8, 7 and 8, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee," or they're not turning their back on you, Samuel, "but they have rejected me. They don't trust me anymore. They don't want me to be their king anymore. They want a fleshly king, not a godly king. So they rejected me that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee." So evidently, Samuel, he took their request somewhat personally, felt they were rejecting him. However, God says, "They're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me." And so God tells Samuel to protest solemnly before them and show them the manner of the king that shall rule over them. In other words, let them know, God, let them know the repercussions of having a king rule over them. Sometimes when we pray for things and God does not give us those things or grant us those things, there is a very good reason why. And we sometimes keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and finally God says, "All right, you want to marry that woman? You want to marry that man? Have at it. Have at it." I don't know who that was for tonight, but let them know the repercussions of having a king ruling over them. They really didn't have a clue as to what having a king was going to be like. We read in 1 Samuel 8, 10 and 12, "And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of a king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons, and he will appoint them for himself. He for his chariots, for his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. So if you want a king, be willing to sacrifice your children. He will appoint him captain over thousands, captain over fifties, and he will set them to ear this ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots." So he's going to take take your children. He's going to put them into his service, and he's going to own them. He's going to tell them what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Are you sure you want a king? We read on in 1 Samuel 8:13, and he will take your daughters. He's going to take your daughters to be confectionaries. He's going to be their cooks. He's going to be their bakers. He's going to take the finest, most talented that Israel has to offer, and he's going to take them out of your home and place him into his service. Are you sure you still want a king? Reading on in 1 Samuel 8:14, he's going to take your fields. He's going to take your vineyards. He's going to take your olive yards, even the best of him. He doesn't want the old run-down, broken-down olive and vineyards and fields. He wants the best. He's going to take the best of the best and give them to his servants. Are you sure, Israel, you still want a king? Are you sure as you pray that God's will and you're telling God's what you think his will in your life should be? How many of you have ever prayed it that way? God, this is what I should be doing. God, this is a great plan, God. Just if you just stick to my plan, all of this will work out, Lord. And we try to tell God how to do everything. Are you sure? God's saying, are you really sure about that? Israel, are you sure you want a king? 1 Samuel 8:15, and we'll take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards, and of his officers and to his servants, and he will make your manservants and your maidservants and your goodliest young men and all of your donkeys and he's gonna take everything you have. He's gonna take your cattle and he's gonna take whatever he wants. He's gonna take a tenth of your sheep. You're gonna pay a big, big price to have this monarchy established here in this kingdom. You're going to be sorry about this, Israel. 1 Samuel 8:18, and ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you have chosen, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. So what God is saying right here is, Israel, I'm going to give you what you want. But when you cry out because the task and the burden and the taxes are so great that you can't survive, I'm not going to listen. That's just like as a parent when the children keeps going and saying, Dad, can I? Dad, can I? Dad, can I? Dad, can I? And finally, Dad says, all right, go. But I'm not happy about this. And then everything goes bad. You come back and you're crying and you're whining and you're complaining. And your dad says, I don't want to hear one word. Go in your bedroom and sulk. I don't want to hear it. I heard that a lot of times. Growing up. But you have cast your vote, Israel. You have made your decision. There's no other higher courts to appeal to. You will cry out, but you must remember that you, Israel, you have made that choice to have an earthly king. And then we read in verses 19 and 20, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, we will have a king over us, that we also will be like all nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. So who had been fighting their battles before this? Who had been going out before them before this? Who was the power behind the prophets, and who was the strength behind the judges? It was Jehovah God. And Israel says, we're going to put all of our trust into a king. And we're going to let that king fight our battles. And God gave them what they asked for in 1 Samuel 8:21. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. How many of us are like those people today? We think we know more than God what is best for us. Let me tell you tonight, God knows what is best for you, and he knows what is best for me, and he knows what will make me happy, and he knows what will make you happy. And he knows just what we need as well as what we do not need. Over the years, I've thought about all the things in my life that I thought would make me happy, things that would satisfy me. And I think I know, but so many times, I'm surprised at how many times I've been wrong and how few times that I have been right. And I think I know, yep, this is what's going to be best. This is what's going to be best, only to find out that if I would have just listened to God. So adding to our story tonight in chapter 9, we see the preparations and making to bring about the request Israel asked for, we want a king. So we're reading in 1 Samuel 9, 1 and 2, and I'm going to be reading from various versions of the Bible here. And now there's a man of Benjamin, whose name was Kish. And he was a mighty man of valor. He was a son of a Benjamite. This is Saul's father. He had a son whose name was Saul. And he was a handsome man. And there was not a more handsome person than he among the sons of Israel. From his shoulders and up, he was taller than any other of the people. Now Kish, he was born of the tribe of Benjamin. And his name Kish means that he was mighty man of power, meaning that Saul's father was a very, very wealthy man. He was a great candidate for the kingship to come out of his family. Saul, the son of Kish, he was a goodly man. Notice it doesn't say he was a godly man. He said he was a goodly man, and he was of a good quality, not a godly quality. He was fine in appearance. He was substantial in size, and he was tall. And then one day in verse 3, one day Kish's donkeys strayed away. And he told Saul, take a servant with you and go look for the donkeys. And so Saul took one of the servants and he traveled through the hill country of Ephraim. And they traveled all the way to the entire land of Benjamin. And they couldn't find their donkeys anywhere. Everywhere they went, they asked about their donkeys. They couldn't find them. And finally they enter into the region of Zuph. And Saul said unto his servant, let us go home. By now my father will be more worried about us than about the donkeys. But the servant said, wait a minute, I've thought of something. There is a man of God who lives here in this town. He is held in high honor by all the people because everything he says comes true. Let's go find him and perhaps he can tell us which way to go. Now the Lord told Samuel the previous day, about this time tomorrow, I will send a man from the land of Benjamin, appoint him to be the leader of my people Israel. He will rescue them from the Philistines, for I have looked down on my people in mercy, and I have heard their cry. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said, that's the man I told you about. He will rule my people. Don't worry about those donkeys. Samuel says, don't worry about those donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, for they have been found. And I'm here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all of Israel's hopes. Now reading in 1 Samuel 9, 3 through 5, and the donkeys of Kish's father were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take them and go find the donkeys. I'm sorry, I messed up a little bit there. Now they find Kish had lost some of his donkeys, and he had probably wandered off and simply got lost and couldn't find their way back home. So here we have Saul, and we have the servant, and here they are. They're taking, and they run into Samuel, and they're looking to find these donkeys. Now this sounds really, really silly to me. When I came across this story, Brother Phil, I thought, you know, this is so typical of us in life. This is so typical. We go to the man of God and we ask the man of God. They go and they say, where are these donkeys? Because they didn't realize that Samuel, the Lord, the day earlier, had talked to Samuel and said, listen, there's going to be a man coming here tomorrow and he's going to be looking for some donkeys. He's the one I want you to anoint king. So while we're out chasing our donkeys, That's where this series title comes from. While we're out chasing our donkeys, looking for donkeys, God is trying to set us up for something great. So many times we go out in our lives and we begin to chase after things. We run and we look here and we look there. And I want you to understand a lot of people in this place tonight are out chasing donkeys instead of chasing after the will of God. We're out all over. We're looking here and we're looking there and we're trying to find whatever that is in our life that's going to make us happy. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. But you are out chasing after donkeys. Too many Christians are chasing after the things of this life instead of dedicating themselves to the service of the Lord. They're chasing out after foolish dreams and selfish desires and chasing after the things of this world and after the cares of life. They're out chasing donkeys and God's trying to get our attention. No regard for God's purpose and plan for their lives, but God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for you to be a blessing to those around you, but he can't perform that plan until we step aside from chasing after donkeys and we begin to wait upon the Lord. Again, Samuel says to Saul, don't worry about those donkeys. They have been found. They have been taken care of. He tells Saul in verse 19, go with me to a high place. And the high place was where they began to worship God and perform sacrifices and offerings unto God. This is where God wants us to be as an individual and as a church when we step aside from chasing after donkeys. We step aside from chasing after the things of the world and we begin to worship God and we begin to offer praises to him. And Samuel informs Saul that right now, Saul, those donkeys simply don't matter. Quit worrying about the donkeys. Quit fretting about your donkeys, Saul. Saul had no intentions of going to church that day. He had no intentions of going out to worship God, but God had other plans for Saul. Saul went with Samuel to the high place, and he began to worship God. After blessings and worship, Saul was invited to a feast where he was fed a special chunk of meat that had been ordered and had been set aside just for him. And then something else begins to take place. In verses 26 and 27 says, and they rose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, and he and Samuel abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said unto Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on, but stand still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. So Samuel says to Saul, he says, send your servant away, but you stand here, stand still, because there's something that I must tell you. Stand still. I know that you're worried about your father. I know that you're anxious to get all of those donkeys and to head back home. But stand still and slow down, because God is going to give you a word. God may be trying to tell you something today. You may be here tonight and you may be worried about all of the problems. You may be worried about all the burden that you're carrying. You may be worried about your finances. You may be worried about your job, and you may be worried about your children. You may be worried about your bills, but stand still and slow down. Because God has a word for you. If our musicians can come, God has a plan for you. He has a design. He designed you. for a specific purpose that only you can do. If you can stand tonight, he has intentions. He has something, he has a special anointing for your life. You see, while Saul was out chasing donkeys, God was preparing Samuel to anoint him as king. This is just a groundwork for this series. We're going to go into more depth on really knowing and finding the will of God. But I think in order to get into things at a deeper level, we need to begin to shed some things at the level that we are now. And I know there are times in my life when God says, I remember I went through a period of my life where God says you need to declutter your life. You've got too many things in your life. You've got too much stuff in your life. And if you're going to go where I am calling you to go, you're going to have to leave some things behind. I don't know what you may have to leave behind. I don't know what donkeys you're chasing in your life. But I just feel tonight that if we are going to go where God wants us to go, if you want to find out the full, true will of God, and you want to know your divine destiny in God, you're going to have to get rid of some things. So I want to invite you up front to this altar area. Perhaps you have some things you need to get rid of tonight. We're not going to rush through this. The cake's not going anywhere. Fruit punch isn't going anywhere. We're going to take care of our spiritual man, and then we'll go over there and have a little bit of physical food. But will you come tonight? You want the will of God in your life? You want to declutter some of those things in your life? You see, God's working on a plan. God's working on a plan. He's got a great plan for your life. But what is it that we're holding on to